This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
I'm nothing you've heard. I'm you.
Well, I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and I'm not a witch, and I really am one of you, at least if you're a freethinker, atheist, agnostic, or other sensible mortal who realizes there is no such thing as a witch, at least not like Christine O'Donnell means it. There's nothing supernatural, nothing beyond our natural world.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. And I am not a crook. It's interesting that she doesn't disavow or deny the existence of witches. She just says, I'm not one of them. Welcome to Free Thought Radio. This is the weekend of October 16th and 17th, 2010. Free Thought Radio is broadcasting right here in Madison, Wisconsin. Brian, are you a witch or are you a warlock?
I am neither, I guess. And it's good to know that you guys aren't as well.
Oh, good.
But perhaps you're going to have to pull off some witchcraft to get the convention organized. It's nice for you to be able to come in here for an hour and have a little break, I'm sure.
The convention happening on Halloween weekend.
Oh, there might be some witches there then.
So when you say you're neither, are you acknowledging that there might be witches?
Boy, you got me.
Brian Tirani is our producer here at the Mic 92.1 in Madison, Wisconsin. This show also airs in Atlanta and Anchorage and Grand Rapids and Monterey and podcasts everywhere in our natural world.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation. We're the nation's largest association of freethinkers, and that means those of us who form our opinion about religion based on reason rather than faith, tradition, or authority. We're about 16,000 strong. We have two purposes: to educate the public about non-theism and to defend the constitutional principle of the separation between religion and government. That very beleaguered principle that needs all of our best efforts to protect these days.
On today's show, in the second half of Free Thought Radio, we'll be talking with another Madison institution, like we talked with one last week, Bill Leaders, whose new book is called Watchdog Bill Leaders, 25 Years of Muckraking and Rabble Rousing, published by Jones Book this year. And Bill will be joining us in studio in about a half an hour. He's the news editor of Isthmus, which is Madison's alternative weekly newspaper, and the elected president of the Wisconsin Freedom Information Council. There's a lot to talk about, and included in those topics will be at least three of Bill's columns touching on religious controversies that some of us in the Madison area will remember very well.
And I'll put in a plug for next week's show, and next week's guest will be joined by the one and only Julia Sweeney, not in studio, but by phone. A sneak preview of her appearance at FFRF's upcoming national convention. If you haven't signed up yet, it will be a good time, and there is still time to join us at the Concourse Hotel here in Madison, Wisconsin. That's right off the Capitol Square on Halloween weekend. And we open on Friday mid-afternoon, October 29th, and continue through Saturday, October 30th. And headliners include not only Julia Sweeney, but Ayan Hirsi Ali, Linda Greenhouse, who's the Supreme Court expert, and Cenk Uygur, the Young Turk. And we'll have a legal panel. We'll also hear from Eric Workman, who is this year's Thomas Jefferson Student Activist Awardee. And he'll be joining the program on the week of October 30th, actually. So everything you need to know about the convention is at our website, ffrf.org/outreach/convention. And we are running out of room at the convention, so it's safest to please register in advance.
And it's going to be a lot of fun. So this week, there's a lot of news to cover this week.
Yes, including your debate last Thursday. And who was that with, Dan?
That was Dinesh D'Souza, and he's a well-known conservative Christian writer and a right-wing political observer.
And what's his latest book?
His latest book is Obama's Rage. Obama apparently has this fierce anti-colonialist bias.
I haven't seen a lot of rage out of our president, have you?
But our debate was not about that. It was about would the world be better off without religion?
And we will talk more about that and who won next week.
In other news, the Freedom From Religion Foundation has placed 10 billboards in Flint, Michigan. We're doing our best to help the economy and to enlighten at the same time.
And what do those billboards say, Dan?
One of those billboards quotes John F. Kennedy from his famous address when he was running for president. He addressed the Protestant ministers in Houston in 1960, and he said, "I believe in an America where the separation of church and state is absolute." This is the Freedom From Religion Foundation's debut of the John F. Kennedy quote on a billboard. It has appeared as an interior bus sign previously.
And we would like to go back to those days when public officials actually publicly revered the constitutional principle of separation between church and state. What candidate for public office today would make such a clear, unequivocal endorsement of secular government?
And some of the other billboards?
They include "In Reason We Trust," depicted on a shiny penny. We wish that's what we saw when we pulled out our money. "Imagine No Religion" with a stained glass window motif, and a red, white, and blue billboard warning, "God and Government, a Dangerous Mix."
Our staff attorneys and legal interns have been busy as usual. Lots of letters of complaint to erring officials going out. And probably the most interesting this past week, FFRF's letter to Redlands, California Unified School District over a practice at the high school where the team and coach recite the Lord's Prayer and traditionally open the first practice of the season with a, and we're not making this up, a blessing of the helmets.
And of course, the Lord's Prayer is explicitly Christian in nature. It comes from the New Testament. Prayer in school is bad enough and always excludes non-believers, but a Christian prayer excludes other believers as well.
Most ridiculous is that this year, as reported in the Redlands Daily Facts, the team's coach invited Larry White, he's a pastor from Horizon Church in Victorville, California, to deliver the blessing of the helmets prayer. I think that's Dinesh D'Souza's congregation, the Horizon Church in California. There were a lot of photos of this blessing, and you can see all these helmets out on the floor getting what? Sprayed on with Holy Ghost blessing or something?
The foundation requested an immediate investigation by the district into these prayerful practices of the football team, and we expressed concerns that these violations might be occurring elsewhere in the district. Patrick Elliott, one of our staff attorneys, requested in writing that the district say what steps it is taking to remedy this serious violation, and pointed out that a blessing of the helmets is not only illegal in public schools, but ranks right up there with the most absurd of superstitious silliness.
We'll talk about hard-headedness. Turning to national news, of course, we started the show with a snippet from the now infamous commercial, the political ad by Christine O'Donnell, who's running for Congress in Delaware. We've previously played some of her comments dissing evolution and so on. Now, a candidate for governor of New York State has been in the headlines a lot for making a lot of outrageous statements and a sort of an apology. Here's one of the statements that Carl Paladin has kind of apologized for.
"We must stop pandering to the pornographers and the perverts who seek to target our children and destroy their lives. I didn't march in a gay parade this year. The gay pride parade this year. My opponent did. And that's not the example that we should be showing our children, and certainly not in our schools. I just think my children and your children would be much better off and much more successful getting married and raising a family. And I don't want them to be brainwashed into thinking that homosexuality is an equally valid or successful option. It isn't."
That's Carl Paladino. And is almost always is the case, these homophobic comments were fueled by religion and directly attributed in the media to Palladino's devout Roman Catholicism. Palladino kept putting his foot in his mouth. His initial anti-gay statement was made last week at a synagogue in front of Orthodox Jews. He criticized his rival, State Attorney General Andrew Cuomo, for marching in this summer's gay pride parade, and he said, quote, "That's not how God created us, and that's not the example that we should be showing our children. I don't want them to be brainwashed into thinking that homosexuality is an equally valid and successful option."
So we have this specter, this make-believe force out in the cosmos, a God, and isn't it handy? There are always humans who know exactly what this God thinks.
Religion is such a great tool for tyrants and bigots to use, and of course, the Bible, Hebrew and Christian versions, is anti-gay. There are not many references to gays in it, but the few references there are ain't choice, and that's a play on Spencer Tracy's comments about Catherine Hepburn.
Ain't choice, ain't
choice. There wasn't much there, but what was there is choice. So in this case, it's not choice.
I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we'll be right back. We're going to air some free thought in the media, in case you missed it. There were some great lines in the TV program Glee recently. Two main characters coming out as atheists. And we'll also air the views of the spy writer John Le Carré on the dangers of religion in government.
I'm not a witch.
Hi, my name is Alexa from Iowa City, Iowa, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio. We're the directors of the Freedom From Religion Foundation.
Okay, for a look at atheism and free thought in popular culture, check out the October 5th TV show Glee, which is a big hit these days. First, there was a nice reminder of the separation between church and state when devotional music was creeping into the Glee Club and the principal nixes it.
I'm giving a lesson on spirituality. I don't understand what the big deal is.
Well, the big deal is that this is a public school, and there's this little thing called separation of church and state, which happens to be the pillar of a functioning civil society.
But Sue, children should be allowed to profess whatever faith they choose.
At the BET Awards, but not in a public school.
Sue, I'm trying to help these kids. Kurt is struggling with some really tough issues.
Well, William, if your kids want to praise Jesus in class, I suggest they enroll at Sweet Holy Mother of God Academy on I Love Jesus Street, but not here. This country is not a monarchy, William. Trust me, I've tried. And as much as I enjoy giving impromptu civics lessons, I got work to do.
Okay, so this dabbling of Jesus songs in the Glee Club prompts one of the main characters, Kurt, who is out of the closet as a gay young man, to come out of another closet.
Thank you, Mercedes. Your voice is stunning, but I don't believe in God.
Wait, what?
You've all professed your beliefs, so I'm just stating mine. I think God is kind of like Santa Claus for adults. Otherwise, God's kind of a jerk, isn't he? I mean, he makes me gay and then has his followers going around telling me it's something that I chose, as if someone would choose to be mocked every single day of their life. And right now, I don't want a heavenly father. I want my real one back.
But Kurt, how do you know for sure? You can't prove that there's no God.
You can't prove that there isn't a magic teapot floating around on the dark side of the moon with a dwarf inside of it that reads romance novels and shoots lightning out of its boobs, but it seems pretty unlikely, doesn't it?
Is God an evil dwarf?
We shouldn't be talking like this. It's not right.
I'm sorry, Quinn, but you all can believe whatever you want to, but I can't believe something I don't. I appreciate your thoughts, but I don't want your prayers.
And here's another clip about Kurt's epiphany about religion.
And after a while, I realized it wasn't that I wasn't praying hard enough. It's that no one was listening. Asking someone to believe in a fantasy, however comforting, isn't a moral thing to do. It's cruel.
Don't you think that's just a little bit arrogant?
It's as arrogant as telling someone how to believe in God, and if they don't accept it, no matter how open-hearted or honest their dissent, they're going to hell? Well, that doesn't sound very Christian, does it?
Well, if that's what you believe, that's fine. But please keep it to yourself.
As long as you do the same.
Okay, well, there's some great writing there. You don't often hear this point made that religion is cruel, that it's immoral, that there's something abusive. Maybe it's child abuse to teach lies. The lie that there is life after death, or there's a hell, or even that there's a heaven, that this isn't our only world. So kudos to the Glee writers.
And this week on the Amy Goodman Show, the spy writer John le Carré made some fascinating remarks, in part about ex-Prime Minister Blair's remarks about God and a righteous war.
I think I would have asked him one question, perhaps, and I'd have asked it repeatedly. I'd have asked him about his faith, because we were told when journalists asked about Blair's faith, the reply was, we don't do God here. Well, of course, he does do God. And he reports that his actions have been put before God and confirmed, as if somehow God has signed a chit for him. I think that the question of somebody's religious faith is absolutely central to what we think of them. If we are members of the electorate, we have to know. If it is, for example, somebody's conviction, widely held among Christians in the United States, that the second coming of Christ is not possible till the greater Israel is established, we need to know that. That's an important political perception. In Blair's case, I would have asked him that question, and I'd have pressed him on it. I'd have asked him whether God had ever restrained him. I find it very strange that we elect a politician who then claims to serve a higher deity who guides him. I did what I believe is right. Well, will you tell us, please, how that relates to the Christian ethic? Do you believe in war first and negotiation afterwards? Exactly how does this work?
And that brings us to The War Prayer by Mark Twain. Our upcoming guest, Bill Eaters, writes a bit about The War Prayer. Dan, you set it to music, right?
Yes, we do it in the Tunes and Tunes show. If you come to the convention, you'll see me and Steve Benson singing and showing his war
very powerful
editorial cartoons
anti-war
at the same time.
Cartoons.
So you can't see the cartoons here, but...
But so this is you singing a lot of Mark Twain's War Prayer. Well, as much time as we have for that.
Following is from Mark Twain's 1904 War Prayer, which has been called perhaps his most prophetic piece of writing. It's the story of a preacher who has just finished praying for God to guide the nation's soldiers to victory. When into the church walks a mysterious stranger who turns to the congregation and utters aloud the real unspoken prayer of their hearts. O Lord, our God, help us to tear their soldiers to bloody shreds with our shells. Help us to cover their smiling fields with the pale forms of their patriot dead. Help us to drown the thunder of their guns with the shrieks of their wounded, writhing in pain. Help us to lay waste their humble homes with a hurricane of fire. Help us to wring the hearts of their unoffending widows with unavailing grief. Help us to turn them out roofless, with their little children to wander unfriended, the wastes of their desolated land,
That's Dan Barker singing some of the words of Mark Twain, The War Prayer. I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker. We'll be right back after the break to talk with Madison Muckraker and investigative reporter and author Bill Leaders.
Hi, my name is Ann O'Day, and I'm from Mundelein, Illinois, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker.
And joining us in the studio today is Bill Leaders. His name is spelled L-U-E-D-E-R-S. Bill Leaders. He's a native of Milwaukee. Bill is the news editor of Isthmus, which is Madison's alternative weekly newspaper, and he's the elected president of the Wisconsin Freedom Information Council. That's a statewide group that works to protect public access to government meetings and records. Bill is co-founder of the successful city weekly, The Shepherd Express, in Milwaukee. He's worked at Isthmus here in Madison, Wisconsin, since 1986. That's about the same time I came to Madison, 1985. Bill is receiving national awards for editorial writing and reporting on animal issues, and state awards for investigative reporting and column writing. He's the author of the books An Enemy of the State, The Life of Irwin Knoll, and the book Cry Rape, The True Story of One Woman's Harrowing Quest for Justice. His newest book, which is just out, it's called Watchdog Bill Leaders, 25 Years of Muckraking and Rabble-Rousing. It's published by Jones Books in 2010. It is more than 70 columns, including some of them touching on topics that we like to talk about on Free Thought Radio. So welcome to Free Thought Radio, Bill.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I'm looking at your book. It's a very handsome cover of you right by our very impressive state capitol.
Mm-hmm.
And it says watchdog, and you are holding one of your favorite puppies. Is that right?
Yeah, that's one of my two dogs. That's my dog, Bailey. She's an 11-year-old rat terrier corgi mix.
Very cute.
Except you look like the watchdog, and that just looks like a cute,
yeah, I'm
cute
actually,
friendly dog.
I'm actually more of a watchdog than Bailey, in part because Bailey is blind.
Oh.
So she's not much of a watchdog anymore.
She's a
very
listen,
sweet, however.
Listen dog, huh?
Well, watchdog, that's something we have in common because we describe the Freedom From Religion Foundation as a watchdog group for separation mm-hmm. of church and state. But you're a political or community watchdog. And did you always feel that's what your calling was going to be?
No, I kind of came to journalism by accident, mistake, and indirection. But I came to it nonetheless.
What was your original?
Well, I was an English major in college, and I had no plans for my future beyond, you know, graduating from college. And then in the last year there, we did start an alternative newspaper, which is then the Crazy Shepherd, and it later became the Shepherd Express, which is still the weekly newspaper of Milwaukee. And I came to Isthmus newspaper in 1986 as news editor, which is the position I still hold. And over time, I think I did more reporting that was of the nature of a watchdog, investigative reporting, and reporting that looked into the issues and concerns of ordinary people, which is how I kind of came to that moniker.
And we honed in on a couple, several columns from your new book that talk about religion. And since we just, on the earlier segment, played some of Mark Twain's War Prayer, let's talk about the column where you actually excerpt some of it. It's Remembering Whom to Thank. And this dates to 1991. It was at the conclusion of the first Gulf War. And do you want to talk about it? It's a very angry column. I mean,
yeah, it is. And I it's atypical in that respect, is that most of the writing in this book is relatively upbeat, particularly compared to my other books, which were about a Holocaust survivor and a victim of a horrific rape, yeah. Followed by even more horrific things. But this column is an angry column, and it was written after the very brief and bloody first Gulf War of 1991. And I noted how many of our political and cultural figures were giving God direct thanks for the fact that we killed so many Iraqis so quickly with so little loss of American life. George Bush thanked God. Dan Rather was constantly talking about God in his news reports about it. And I just found that very offensive that we would that they would invoke deity as being on the side of the United States in the killing of human beings.
You say in the article, "In times like these, we should be grateful that God is an American who shares our disregard for the lives of foreigners."
Yeah, sarcastic, of course.
Strong line, yeah, yeah.
So, well, right in tune with Mark Twain's War Prayer.
Right, right. That was, it folded right into the part that you just played.
That was 1904. That was the Spanish-American War when he wrote that War Prayer.
Yeah. So, same as it ever was, hey?
The same idea.
Very sad. Well, and then I would like to talk about your column that talks about Scott Jensen and the Pledge of Allegiance. And Scott Jensen, why don't you tell, a lot of our listeners are in Madison, Wisconsin. First, who is Scott Jensen?
Scott Jensen at the time was the Speaker of the State Assembly. And he proposed legislation that would require schools in the state of Wisconsin to play the Pledge of Allegiance, or excuse me, play the national anthem and or recite the Pledge of Allegiance every day, which did pass.
After 2001.
Yeah, it did pass after 2001. And of course, there was, you know, a furious reaction when the Madison School Board decided that it would meet this new mandate of the state by playing an instrumental rendition of the Pledge of Allegiance rather than the words.
Do you know whose idea that was?
Was that yours?
Yes.
The national anthem.
You just about brought down our entire school board.
I know, I'm personally like I don't know, Pandora's box there.
You mean a musical rendition of the national anthem?
Right. The law says you could either play a musical rendition of the national anthem or you could recite the Pledge of Allegiance.
They opted for one.
They had a little meeting where there weren't very many people there on this. And I showed up and I said, well, gee, at West High School, which is my alma mater in Madison, Wisconsin, they only play the anthem, and that's really respectful toward the students. Couldn't it be the policy of the Madison School District and throughout the district only to play the music? And they thought about it and they thought that was a good idea.
It was a good idea.
And then they adopted it. And then you know what happened.
The right wing went crazy about it.
God's wrath.
They claimed that it was a ban on the Pledge of Allegiance, that the Madison School Board had banned the Pledge of Allegiance because it preferred playing the anthem instead, which was one of its options. So it was just horrific.
It was national news, too.
Oh, well, it was like a national right-wing and religious right campaign.
Tens of thousands of emails flowed into the district. There was a meeting that went basically all night long with hundreds of people.
It must have been close to 1,000 people. When I got up to speak, it was frightening because there was this whole muttering through the whole room, like this roar.
Yeah.
As I spoke.
Yeah.
I felt like I needed a bodyguard when I left.
You probably did. People who supported the decision of the board or who said anything, critical of U.S. foreign policy were booed and hissed at. And it was really a mob. And afterwards, it was followed by recall campaigns against members of the school board. They tried to oust them from office for having the audacity to ban the pledge, which they never did.
But your column was ahead of its time. I mean, this was a column you wrote on Wisconsin.
He wrote one later too.
In 99.
Yeah, I wrote one about the flap up over the pledge, as well as the proposal by our speaker to institute this as a statewide law.
But for people who are not from the Madison or Wisconsin area, could you briefly tell them who? Scott Jensen's what's going on with him? He's still in a great deal of hot water.
Yeah, well, Scott Jensen was one of the members of our legislature who was charged with felony offenses in connection with the so-called caucus scandal, where state staffers were being used on political campaigns in violation of state law. And Scott Jensen was, in fact, convicted of those charges. He went to trial and he was convicted, but he's consistently used apparently endless amounts of money that was available from his political campaign war chest to fight his ordeal in court, and he got that conviction overturned. And since then, he's been fighting various ways to keep it from coming back up into court to prevent the retrial. But it is supposed to come back for a retrial. It's still a pending case. This is going back to 2002. So he's dragged it out for 8 years now.
Isn't
it funny?
these people who crow the loudest about, the people who have the questionable ethics in their lives seem to be the ones who crow the loudest about the need for God and the pledge and religion.
And faith-based, he was really big, having this big plan for faith-based prisons, for example, in legislature. You did write a column about the uproar about the Pledge of Allegiance here.
Surviving the New McCarthyism is the name of that column.
So you must have covered that meeting.
I did keep tabs on it. I did not watch the whole thing, but I watched some of it, and it was, you know, it was horrific. At that point in time, there was just this huge national reaction that everyone had to conform. They had to watch what they say. They had to watch what they do right after 9/11. And speaking of where, you know, there's a great deal of fear that was still instilled into ordinary people about, you better watch what you say. You better not criticize the U.S. government. You know, and that was always one of the great things about America, and still is, for us to forfeit that right simply because we had been attacked. It was just bonkers.
It was bonkers that we had a faith-based initiative, you know, flying into a building for Allah in a religious crusade.
Yeah, sure.
And then why did the whole country turn to more religion? When religion was the problem already, why was it the answer?
Interesting.
But I mean, we're still mopping up after that at the foundation. We get so many pledge complaints from kids in school who are forced to stand up. They're not supposed to have to stand up, at least, and participate. And we have all these God Bless America banners all over schools still since 9/11. So.
Sure. Religion is the one way that fear is still used as a cudgel in America to enforce conformity. And in the aftermath of 9/11, we saw it extend more broadly to other areas of society where people were afraid of all kinds of behavior, that it would get them in ill order with their fellow citizens.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor with Dan Barker. We are having a very fascinating talk with Bill Leaders here in studio, and we'll be right back after this break.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio. The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker, and we're back. I'm here with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and we're speaking with Bill Leaders. Bill is the news editor for Madison's weekly newspaper, Isthmus, and he's the author of a brand new book which just came out this year by Jones Press, is it, or Jones Publishing?
Jones Books.
It's called Watchdog Bill Leaders, 25 Years of Muckraking and Rabble-Rousing, with more than 70 of his columns that have run throughout the year.
Sure, and some longer investigative pieces, too, among them.
And that's right, and you also have written some other books as well. During the break, we were talking about some of the columns you've written about the death penalty in Wisconsin. Aren't we one of the longest-lived states without the death penalty?
Yes, we're in a very small minority of states in this country that don't have the death penalty, and Wisconsin has not had the death penalty for longer than maybe anyone else. It was banned way back in the 1850s after a horrific hanging. Public hanging that, you know, really grossed people out.
And it went bad, didn't it?
It went bad. And then, frankly, they're all bad.
Yeah.
But this one shocked people and created a backlash, and the state banned capital punishment. And for all of my life, as far as I can recall, people have been trying to bring it back. Usually Republicans are and pro-lifers among them.
Religious right people. Yeah.
Are very keen on bringing back the death penalty. Now, I will say that there also are some conservative religious people who oppose the death penalty. I spoke to an anti-abortion protester recently who also is, pardon the pun, death on the death penalty. You can't lump everyone together in that respect.
And the same with Republicans. There's some anti-death penalty.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a very serious effort in 2006 to bring the death penalty back in Wisconsin. There was a referendum that was put on the ballot. It was an advisory referendum. The push was behind it, and the people of Wisconsin did vote in favor for it. The political structure did not ratify that decision by restoring the death penalty, in part because Democrats have held the edge in our legislature and in our state house as governor since that time. But it is perpetually on the horizon. If Republicans regain control, it will be one of the first things they will try to do is to restore the death penalty in the absence of any need for it.
And as a Madison, Wisconsin native, it is one of the things that I am most proud of our state for, that mm-hmm. we have got rid of the death penalty. We only had it for 1 year. And also the second thing would be our motto, forward. Those are both two very nice things to say about Wisconsin, but I'm not sure how forward thinking we are right now. What do you think?
You know, there's an article in today's Wisconsin State Journal about how Wisconsin came to get that motto forward, which is uh-huh. an interesting process.
That was very fun how they didn't like the original one and sketched it out. And
yes, sure. It is a good motto. I'm proud of that motto.
Some kind of boring Latin phrase they had going or something, and then they changed it to forward.
I'm going to just do a shameless advertisement, people who sign up for the FFRF convention Halloween weekend, we have forward on our badge, and we have a forward theme, forward free thought. So
sure.
We
you know, though, it. If there was truth in advertising, some of our political players in the state of Wisconsin, like throughout the nation, should really just openly adopt the motto backward.
Well, and that is what Tommy Thompson wanted to do. Do you remember the fight he wanted to put forward in the basement?
Oh, well,
the statue.
That.
Oh, statue forward.
You know, Gene Miner's statue. And that was one of the most popular things my mother and I ever did. We got the petition up to save forward.
To save the statue. It now stands at State Street there.
Right. It got moved. So let's talk a little bit about another backward thing, which is the Supermax and the prison system in our nation. And you've done a lot of investigative reporting, and you've done some good. What is the Supermax, and what's wrong with it?
Well, the Supermax prison was built in Wisconsin in Boscobel, around the turn of this last century. And it was one of these politically driven decisions where no one in the state penal system said, oh, we really need to have a Supermax prison. But the politicians who were in charge, including Tommy Thompson, our governor at the time, said, we're going to give you a Supermax. We're going to create a prison for people that are so dangerous that they need to be locked up in their cells basically 24 hours a day, never have contact with other human beings. It's going to be a criminal's worst nightmare. They basically set out to create a torture center for people that they considered bad enough to deserve it. And that's exactly what the state of Wisconsin did.
And isn't it, now this might have been changed, but one of the ways they tortured the prisoners was to never turn off the lights.
Yeah, the lights are on constantly, and you were not allowed to pull the blankets up over your eyes so that you could get a night's sleep.
I mean, this is...
It was just pointlessly cruel.
Brutal.
It was a form of torture, and it was a reflection of society's incredible meanness and attitude of punitiveness toward people who end up in our prison system.
And so what kinds of investigations had you made, and what's changed?
Well, I did one of the first stories about Supermax after it opened, and I just wrote about how the conditions were there, and I had some correspondence from some of the inmates who were in the prison. They were able to shout to each other through the ventilation ducts, and somehow or other the fact that I was working on a story got back to enough inmates that I was starting to get letters from people who told me about how punishing it was to endure that isolation and those other abuses. And after my story appeared first in Milwaukee Magazine and then in Isthmus in the year 2000, a Madison attorney did enter the picture and got the right to represent the inmates in a class action lawsuit, which made things a little better.
Yeah, we used to hear from prisoners when it first opened with state church violations, and we'd hear details from them. And I don't hear from them now. I don't know if that means things are better or what, but...
Yeah, they could have also put additional constraints on their ability to communicate. They were very big on that.
But there is something very barbaric about our prison system in this country, and I think an awful lot of it, I don't want to just blame religion, but this idea that you punish, and that once someone has crossed that line, it doesn't matter how you treat them.
Well, punishment is popular, and maybe it's popular because it does fit the mindset of people who are raised with religion, that punishment is part of the deal. But is it a good public policy, and you know, to make people crazy in prison
right.
so that they come out more dangerous than they went in? No.
How can they not emerge crazy after that?
And they do. I mean, they've broken people. They've broken them psychologically because of the extraordinary isolation and because of just the abuses that are heaped on them in that type of setting. You know, prison in any situation is totally a drag. It is is hard, and people suffer through it and sometimes barely survive it. But the Supermax prison, as designed, just took that cruelty to a whole new level.
And you have a column in your new book about that. Is that right?
Yeah, I have my story about Supermax, which was a longer investigative piece. And
then Sizing Up Supermax is one of the columns in your new book.
Yeah, and I wouldn't call it a column. It's more of a long article.
Investigative
piece. Oh, it's a 10-pager, this one.
Yeah, okay. It's a big story. Wow, it's a big story, and it's horrific. And I'm glad that an attorney did feel moved to try to do something to make things better. And I think our state has, you know, rolled back some of the cruelty at that institution, but it still is a miserable place.
Now, how can people find your book online?
Amazon.com would have it. You can buy it on Barnes & Noble's website. You can go to any bookstore in the country and order it. They will get
we'll
you a copy.
Thank you so much, Bill.
We've been talking with Bill Leaders, who's the news editor at Isthmus, Madison, Wisconsin's weekly newspaper. His new book is called Watchdog, Bill Leaders. Thank you, Bill, for being on the show.
Thank you.
And thank you, Brian. Brian Tarani is our producer and our engineer. We also want to thank our announcer, Buzz Kemper. Go to ffrf.org/radio to hear archives and sign up for the podcast.
Ask for more information at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. Join us, support us. Tune in next week for more rational radio, blasphemous broadcasting, and to hear our guest, the beautiful Julia Sweeney, talk about her beautiful loss of faith story.
Nothing fails like prayer.
I think God is kind of like Santa Claus for adults. Otherwise, God's kind of a jerk.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday you'll join me.